Just woken up from my beauty sleep. Oh no, it hasn't worked again. I'm still ugly.
Hello and welcome to the show, yes. Colourful Conversations with Mark and Pete. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the show dedicated to religion, politics and business. Well, big question here, as I see clergyman Pete arise for the day. Who indeed is the ugliest of them all? Well, I guess we have to ask these questions because, strangely enough, researchers have actually said that we're all not getting enough beauty sleep. Yes, clergyman Pete, you're just not sleeping enough. Come on, oi, put that pillow away. Now, the fact of the matter is that researchers have said that, in fact, this is exacerbating the problem that many of us are starting to look more ugly than is needed. Perhaps that may be the case. Symptoms such as dark circled panda eyes and puffy lids can put people off from socializing. Well, is that really true? I mean, I must say, looking at Clergyman Pete, let me ask you this question. Why is it that you're just not getting enough sleep?
Well, it's the worry at the state of the world. I just ponder over it, and no, that's not true. It isn't true that I always miss out on sleep, but I do often not get quite enough sleep, and the reason is that I want to get up early and get things done before the busyness of the day.
But what effect is this having on your look?
Yes, well, this, yeah. Now, the thing is that I think with many people, this would result in, I think it does in me, result in, as you say, sort of you get dark rings around the eyes and a puffiness of the eyelids and a general unattractive appearance. Fortunately, I'm in the fortunate situation
that
I already look like that, so it doesn't really make that much difference. So I think it can be an advantage, though, I would have thought, in different situations, to be ugly. I mean, to be attractive gets you ahead in some situations, but to be physically unattractive can make you attractive in other ways, because it forces people to assess your inner worth, and also it puts them at a feeling of advantage, such that they may want to be kind to you. This is often the case if you allow people to have a feeling of self-confidence. They are then free to be magnanimous to you. So in certain situations, it can be very helpful to be ugly. It's not always important to be physically attractive. Although I do think that you do need to take that into account. You know, businessman Mark, I think you need to take that into account. I mean, I
think, I'm making notes.
I mean, maybe a bag over your head would do it. I mean, I just think
I'll remove it.
It's a question of being kind to those around you.
Yes. Well, it is said that I do believe we both have faces for radio, don't we?
The perfect. Well, people do sometimes ask, why is there only an audio version to this show? Yeah, well, there's a very good reason there.
Well, let me get to the seriousness of this, because in actual fact, many people believe that it actually sort of not having enough sleep not only makes you physically look bad, but also can make you ugly in behavior.
Yes.
So, you know, with the idea is that don't make him angry, he'll get ugly. Well, the fact of the matter is,
too late.
It is true. Yes. Because basically, if you're sort of, you know, short tempered because you're not feeling at ease with yourself, you're going to feel at an ease with others. Yes. Now, of course, the other thing as well, which I do want to raise here, is the important point that we do seem to put an awful lot of emphasis on vanity. Now, we know that where people have been criticized for putting too many catwalk models on magazines and airbrushing out all the imperfections. And that's really had a social impact, particularly on people who see that if they can't aspire to look in the way that certain women or even men do, that they're not good enough, that they might be deemed to be ugly. So in my opinion, that does raise some rather important points. Now, I've got a little poem here that probably gets to the real key to this problem, which is called Who's the Ugliest of Them All? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the ugliest of them all? Is it me or is it you that makes an unpleasant point of view? You see fate and evolution, I see hate and retribution. You look east and I look west, yet who can tell which is best? Spend much time on our vanity, forgetting faith and Christianity. What in life is real beauty? Our quest for success or spiritual duty? Mirror, mirror, tell me the truth. The image shows a fading youth. Why does time take its toll upon my sad and mortal soul? Mortal, mortal, listen clear. The news I bring is framed with fear. Look again and review your past and reflect upon why you asked. Now you see it, now you don't. Perhaps you will or perhaps you won't. Whether wise or with foolish grin, in God's eyes we're all just as ugly as sin. So the point being here is that in actual fact we're all sinners, and there's an ugliness that lies deep within. It's not just about on the surface. The fact is that we do seem to place an awful lot of onus on our appearance, on our clothes and our hair, and just generally the paraphernalia that we try to sort of make ourselves seem something that perhaps we're not. I would like to ask you, Clergyman Pete, guidance here in terms of why we've sort of built up a society where perhaps ugliness on the physical side, it seems to be in some ways more important to others than what's actually happening from within.
Yes. Now, gentle listener, when Businessman Mark says guidance there, that's not because he thinks I'm exceptionally wise, although maybe that's true as well. He's thinking, well, maybe there's something from the Bible that Peter could point to. That's absolutely right. One of the fundamental themes of the Bible is summed up by this phrase, taken from a verse in Scripture: God looks on the heart, that is, the inner person. Taking one example from the Old Testament, when the first king of Israel, Saul, was appointed, it was noted that he was tall and handsome and a good warrior. He was physically capable. And yet, he took too much on himself. He was too arrogant and overstepped the mark and tried to prophesy without permission. You know, he was saying that he was speaking for God when he wasn't. He was in every way physically seemed like a great person and the right person to be king. But when the prophet Samuel asked God about it, he said this: don't look on his outward appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. This is 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that has become part of Western culture, because, of course, Western culture grew up, yes, on the wisdom of the ancient Greeks, but most profoundly on the wisdom found in the Bible. And this idea that beauty is only skin deep is carried over to the other side. Ugliness is only skin deep. We must look on the heart, and yet too often we don't. Let's say politics. Let's look at American presidents. You can't elect an American president who doesn't have any hair. This is what it seems to be the case. You've got to have good hair. And, you know, we noted in our prediction, the prediction that Mark gave in early 2016, that Donald Trump would win. I mean, part of that calculation has to be that he has to have one of the most wonderful hairstyles that it's possible to imagine.
It's well constructed.
Yes, indeed.
I'll give him that.
Yeah,
I mean, I know he's done very well in construction in his business life, but he's constructed fine coiffure.
What I'm saying is, we do end up we can't help but look at the appearance. The appearance of someone, however, there's nothing we can do about it. That is what we see, you know, by his very nature. So God is able to look at the heart. We strive to do the same, but in the end, our natural reaction is to respond to the appearance of people. I mean, you can be reminded. I was immediately reminded when we were looking at doing this episode about ugliness, of the story of Dorian Gray, written by Oscar Wilde. Now, this story, if for those of you who don't know it, which I guess it's few in number because it's quite a well-known story, but Dorian Gray, the picture of Dorian Gray's story, is one in which there's a man who has a painting of himself, and the painting takes on the effects of his sin and is basically his ugly nature. But the person himself remains absolutely beautiful, handsome throughout his life. The picture gets worse and worse and more hideous, and he stores it up away in his attic where no one can see it. And that picture, the picture, is what God can see, but we don't see it in each other. However, in time, it's been said, a wise man once said, that's me knowing who said it, so that's my general phrase, a wise man once said that by I forget the age now, by 60, say, we have the age, we have the face that we deserve. By when we're old, we have the face, you know, when we're young, we have our face dealt out by nature or by God. But by 60, we have the face we deserve, because it can be etched with laughter lines, or it can be etched with frowns and scowling. Yes. It can be blotched and with panda eyes from lack of sleep. We could have been disciplined throughout our life and still be bright eyed, and you know, we get the faces we deserve to some extent.
Yes. Well, I am not going to frighten the listeners by describing clergyman Pete's look.
Very wise.
Otherwise, it might put people off. However, going back to the research, there's quite some interesting points that Dr. Gail Brewer, a psychologist of the University of Liverpool, you may be familiar with that, clergyman Pete, and the British Psychological Society, said, judgment of attractiveness is often unconscious, but we all do it. And we are able to pick up on even small clues as to whether somebody looks tired or unhealthy. So we're actually very subtly starting to sort of judge someone automatically, not just on whether we find them stereotypically attractive, but also about their health. Yeah. Now, this is quite important as well, because it actually opens up to a key finding here, because some people may look at someone, and if they look more grey and ashened, when they perhaps look like quite pink and or certainly full of life anyway, and if they don't, then it does have an indication that maybe if you're not looking as attractive as you once did, it might be an indication that you're not feeling very well, or that you're not very well, and maybe you need to seek help. So being ugly, perhaps if you turn ugly for some reason, there could be a very good reason. You could not be getting enough sleep, or maybe you've got something else. And often what the advice is said from the research is you should take up these hints, that if you are starting to notice some major changes in, and dramatic changes in your look, act upon them quickly, because it says it is a good reminder that something is going wrong in your life. So you did mention, clergyman Pete, that quite an interesting point, that your face does actually sort of reflect, by and large, the way you've lived your life. So if you do have laughter lines, that probably is a good thing. And I think, as the doctor said in the report, unconsciously we pick up on these sort of clues. So I guess the question here then is what do we need to do to make sure that we have more laughter lines than frowns?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about a cheerful view of life giving you a better appearance has some truth to it, but it's more, I believe, that as you develop a cheerful, positive outlook on life, which can be achieved through daily prayer. But I know that not everyone is a believer. As I say, I struggle to see why sometimes, with the evidence for Christianity being so overwhelming. But not everyone is a believer in Christianity. But this sort of daily positive outlook can be done another way. It's simply having time, maybe first thing in the morning, just to review what you've done, what you're going to do, and give positive thoughts about it. Repeat your aims in life or your aims for the day. Gives you this positive outlook, and say positive things about yourself, and I mean say them, saying them out loud. Praying out loud, even if when you're in private, unless of course you're going to wake people up, then you can't do it then, but you could do it later in the day. But saying things out loud that are positive, whether it's a prayer or you simply saying them, where you say regularly, it's been shown that this does work. And when I say it's been shown, I point to a particular study. There's been numerous studies that shows this is the case. Repeating out loud positive affirmations helps you to be positive. But the other thing that I'd say about, gives you these laughter lines and you can laugh. Well, there's one simple thing, and this may surprise you, businessman Mark, because it seems quite a banal thing to say. But it's something, and it seems a strange, and after I've said all the other things, this seems a strange and simplistic thing to say. One thing that makes you more cheerful through life and makes you look better is to throughout each day drink more water.
Oh yes,
keep hydrated.
Yes,
it makes a huge difference. It's why people are fat. They think it's it's an eating disorder, or they think they're hungry all the time. You just need to drink water instead of doing that. You'll be healthier
in business
and happier
in business. It is actually a requirement now for many people to actually provide water fountains and coolers, water coolers, as often some of the Americans would say. And it's not just simply as a gathering point to have gossip about the latest shenanigans in business.
That's included, obviously.
But that's included. But it's actually, again, yes, absolutely. You should always, wherever you go on your travels, at home or abroad, always have some water. Now, of course, we're not going to give a lot of guidance on the healthy and medical aspects of what you should drink, but absolutely that can make a big difference. But I want to ask another point. I think one of the reasons why that this point about what is beautiful and what isn't beautiful stems from school, because I know that many people will often remember some of their bad experiences at school. Certainly, I've seen, I remember being at school where many people and nasty children would say sometimes to other children, well, I don't like you because you're ugly. Even irrespective of whether the child was very well educated or not, they seemed to be ostracized simply because they weren't wearing the latest fashions, the right haircut, and was perceived to be ugly. And yet, of course, some of them went on to look perfectly normal, maybe because they were wearing National Health glasses at the time, or just simply their parents couldn't afford the latest gear. And of course, this is something that stays with people. It actually is the mental scarring.
Yes.
So we're not talking about just the physical thing. We're talking about the psychological problems.
Yes, no, I agree. And I would say that there's two sides to this. One is, think about what you say. There's a difference between a jokey thing. I mean, a bunch of lads together will say, hey, you're ugly, so-and-so, and it's so obvious that it's a joke. Not only is it perfectly fine, it's a good thing to do. It's a way of identifying as a group, and it's funny. That's fine. But if you reject someone because they're ugly, make nasty comments to people, it does stick with them. You're right. And the way to do it, if you're in that situation, and if you're not at school anymore and you're in a workplace, it can still apply there. People are bullied. I know of a current situation I won't say in which firm, but I'm aware of it. There's someone who's been really bullied in his workplace because he's so overweight, and so it makes him, in their eyes, look ridiculous. Now this, it ruins his self-esteem, and he may well leave that place of employment. Now, that's just not acceptable that you behave like that. Yet people do it. I say not acceptable to who? To me, damn it! I don't think it's acceptable.
Yeah.
This is something that's damaging to people, and it could be so easily prevented. All you have to do is switch it around. You go up to someone who is overweight, and you were going to say you're fat, or you were going to make a sly comment, insinuating that they're fat, more likely. Instead, you say, "Oh, well, you're looking bright and cheerful today. What's so good?" You know, you change around. You say something good to them instead. You know, yes. Something in the same way that you were going to say bad. So you don't go over the top and say, "Do you know you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen?" You don't lie to them. You say something that's really good about them. Now, but for parents of people at school, and right from an early age, you need to affirm to your child, whatever they actually look like, that to you they're beautiful. All the time, and it's best to actually admit it. I would say, "Well, it's because I'm your mother or father that I think this." That doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. That's actually that's better to a child. Mm. Oh, it's because my parents love me that they think I'm beautiful. That's even better. So make sure you keep saying it. So it's the same token with in a romantic relationship. You need to actually say that you love your partner. In a parent-child relationship, you must say that not only do you love them, but that you like them, and that they're to you they are beautiful or handsome, whatever. Mm. Because that will overcome any opinion from the outside world that you think that they look great. That nothing else matters in the end.
Yes.
Because the people who love them like them.
Well, indeed. Well, we said at the start of the show, who's the ugliest of them all? Well, listeners, let's all take a look in the mirror, because we're all ugly as sin, because we are sinners. And I'm sure if we look back over our lives, we've probably all been guilty of criticizing people for their appearance. But maybe we might be able to do things a little bit more effectively in the future. So why not follow us at Mark and Pete on Twitter and let us know your thoughts as well as to what you think. I mean, who is the ugliest of them all? Do you have some thoughts? And maybe you'll take on board some of the points that Clergyman Peter said. So join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Mark and Pete.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.